Welcome to the AI Business Podcast, where we feature conversations with interesting guests at the intersection of artificial intelligence and business.
This is Deborah Yao. I'm the editor of AI Business. I'm here to welcome John Humphrey, head of data platform product at MailChimp. Welcome, John.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me on today. Super excited to be getting to chat with you today.
Well, first of all, tell me more about what you do at MailChimp.
Yes. So I'm the head of, data platform product at MailChimp. And really, what I'm focused on is how do we use data in our product, MailChimp, to best help our customers engage with and activate their customers.
So emails is really your jam, but they've been around for a long time. Are they still relevant as a marketing channel versus social media, websites, et cetera?
That's a great question. Short answer is absolutely. And I would say it's relevant for two reasons. One, marketing channels are sort of like, food. You want to maintain a well-balanced diet. You don't want to get all of your, sort of content and all your communication in one particular channel. And also, the right combination of channels is not necessarily the right combination of channels for you. But there's one other aspect of email as a particular channel that I think is unique and worth calling out. And that is, in a world where increasingly having a known first-party relationship with your customer is essential, email is still the best channel in which to own that relationship. As we've seen in recent years, especially if you're relying on, say, social media channels, changes that can be made by other parties in short notice can suddenly undermine the relationship that you think you have with your customer. And so email in particular has a very special quality in that it is still the best way for me to own a relationship with my customer in order to maintain relevance with them. But yes, I think this is a great question that, certainly there are many channels that are coming, channels will come and go, but I think email in particular has a unique place and will continue to do so for some time to come.
That's a great answer. Automation capabilities, however, have redefined the world of email marketing over the last decade already. So how do you see the use of AI ML taking that to the next level? And what additional benefits can marketers expect?
I think there's a lot of benefit to be extracted. And I think these are incredibly exciting times for marketers. I think obviously I'd be remiss if I didn't start by talking about some of the advancements that have gone on in AI and especially in generative AI. We think about AI and what it has meant for, the last, many, many years, we've really focused on, how do you label, objects? So for example, an image comes up and, which part of that image is a cat, which part of that image is a human, things like that. But in many ways, when it was relegated to that sort of realm, it wasn't that interesting to marketers. If you look at what has happened in the last, couple of years, and in particular has come to the forefront in the last couple of months, now it has the ability to be generative, to create content, essentially from nothing more than a prompt. And, obviously that's very exciting and something that we here at MailChimp have done, a ton with in recent months. But, if we only talk about content generation, we're only sort of talking about half of the problem. And you brought up an interesting point when you were sort of mentioning the notion of machine learning a moment ago. And I think machine learning has been overlooked in some ways in the recent months as, content generation has gotten faster and better and all the possibilities are starting to pop into people's minds. Because, for a marketer today, your biggest bottleneck is just how do I create enough content? But where we're quickly going to end up is, okay, great, now I can create content almost at will. Who do I send it to? And that's where I think getting our audience generation game equally automated is going to be important. And this is a class of problems for which ML is very well suited to serve marketers well in terms of identifying just that right group of customers for which that newly generated, content will resonate and really compel them to take action. And so, yeah, I think if you're a marketer, these are really exciting times because two of the hardest parts of your job and where you really get slowed down, now suddenly, we have, the technology to kind of make a lot of that automated and go much faster and free us up as marketers to think about higher order problems of how do we really create value for our customers. So yes, I think these are incredibly exciting times in marketing and how the work is done is about to change a ton.
How do you use AI in audience generation?
So I think in terms of audience generation, I would look less to AI, I would look more to machine learning. Again, if you think about a lot of what AI has done historically and has done well is, again, things like sort of labeling problems, if you will, show me an image and it can break it into parts. Or if you think about what it's doing today with content generation, if you think about what is a large language model, what it does really well is it starts by predicting what is the next reasonable word in a sequence of words. What we're looking for with machine learning is really a scaled version of a thing that we have been doing in decades for marketing, which is trying to predict response. If you even go back to like the olden days and like logistic regression and trying to predict who is most likely to respond to a campaign, that's kind of the thing we need. The shortcoming of logistic regression is it doesn't do it. It's the sort of scale that we need in order to keep up with as big as our businesses are and as much data as they generate. And so machine learning essentially is a scaled version of that, to like put it in oversimplified terms. And so I think really just, you know, making sure that you have good data about your customer and then, you know, are feeding it to the machine learning algorithms with a clear objective as to what is the customer outcome I wish to predict, that becomes the sort of bedrock of how you get to a place where you can actually start to segment your customers at scale and have those audiences being generated in lockstep with the content that we can now generate pretty readily as well.
So how do you access that kind of capability? Do you build? Do you buy? How do marketers access that?
That is an excellent question. And I think that's one where, you know, as I think about like, what do I think about all day as, you know, someone trying to build for marketers, I am thinking about how do I put that in the hands of customers? I'm particularly interested in how do I put that in the hands of SMBs? Because, you know, if you're a very large enterprise, you probably have a small army of, you know, data scientists and engineers who can start to build and make this stuff readily available to you. And they can do so in the confines of your one very specific use case that you and only you as your particular business happen to have. I'm interested in how do I sort of mass produce this in such a way that, you know, businesses that hardly have an army of people, let alone an army of data scientists, can have access to it. And also, how do we sort of then make it generalized enough that, you know, it works reasonably well for your business and for mine? And so I'd say these are things where, you know, as I think about what do I want to bring to customers, it's sort of bringing this at scale. And it, you know, it's sort of the perfect time, you know, to be thinking about this, because we are existing for the first time at this sort of confluence of, you know, the way in which we store and access data is pretty good. The way in which we can generate content is pretty good. And the algorithms we have at our disposal to, you know, kind of make sense of customers as audiences is finally good enough as well. And so when you bring all that together, like these are things that I think marketers are going to have a much better set of tools in their hands in relatively short order. And, you know, we at MailChimp are very focused on how do we sort of lead that charge.
Well, today you unveiled a new product called Email Content Generator. Can you talk more about that?
Yes, absolutely, Deborah. This is something that's very exciting and we've been working on for a little bit. You know, as the name would suggest, the idea is that we are generating email content on behalf of marketers. It does leverage GPT technology. So, you know, we are taking advantage of some of the, you know, latest advancements in this space. And the way to think about it is if I, as a marketer, need to create a campaign, I can enter in a short prompt like, I want to offer 15% off betting products. You know, write an email about that. And what our technology will do is it will come back to you with three different options that you can sort of choose between. You can make whatever edits you want, and then you can sort of drag the text into the body of the email that you're working on creating. So it strikes a nice balance between automating away some of the, like, you know, sort of tedious part of the job, but not depriving the marketer of agency to, you know, make sure that it, you know, maintains their brand voice and the sort of personality that they want to come through in order to, you know, be authentic and compelling to their customers.
So on the flip side, what's the benefit to the customer of marketing teams using AI ML?
That's a great question. I think there's a couple of big benefits. You know, if I look at sort of what has been the arc of, you know, sort of marketing technologies over the last couple of decades, we have gotten really good, really fast at putting stuff in your inbox, in your social media feed, wherever. We have done that faster than we have gotten good at making sure we are delivering the right message to the right person. And what's really exciting about the advent of all of this stuff is now we're finally getting those other two parts of the process caught up to our ability to end up in your inbox. And so it's not necessarily that you will see fewer things in your inbox, but you will see better, you know, better content and, you know, more relevant content in your inbox. But in many ways, that's not even the best thing that happens if you're a customer. So, you know, if our marketers are no longer, you know, spending quite so much time, you know, dwelling on, you know, copy decisions, and having to sort of, you know, slog through that. They're doing something else instead. And what they're doing instead is they have now, they have more time to think about what are compelling sort of products and offers to bring to market for their customers. And that really becomes the exciting part, is again, because I free you up of, free you as a marketer up of the sort of, you know, almost the like, you know, administrative task. I now get to be more innovative on behalf of consumers and bring better products to life in more relevant ways.
Okay, wonderful. What won't change with AI ML in marketing? What still needs a human touch?
Yes. So the short answer is, what doesn't change? A lot. I would bifurcate the sort of marketing space here and what changes into like what and how. The how, as we've been discussing, changes a ton. We basically now have a way of automating a whole bunch of tasks that took up a substantial portion of a marketer's time. But what is largely left intact in the sense that what value a marketer has to deliver to a customer is fundamentally the same. What needs a customer has are fundamentally the same. The, you know, thoughts and emotions that go into a purchase decision by a customer, fundamentally the same. Even like what makes a good headline in an email, fundamentally the same. And so it's very easy in this moment where there's, you know, existential like FUD and FOMO floating around with all the changes in technology and in a broader macro environment that is a bit precarious, to, you know, get distracted by, you know, the shiny new object. And don't get me wrong, the shiny new object does some pretty incredible things. But the fundamentals of marketing and consumption, you know, are left unchanged. And really what we have is just better ways in which to, you know, engage in a process that is, you know, centuries or millennia old, depending on how you want to think of it.
What skill sets do modern marketers now need to be successful in this AI age?
Yeah, so in many ways, the answer to this question is kind of similar to what we were just talking about. More doesn't change than changes. And so you still need the same skill sets in terms of, you know, understanding the fundamentals of marketing, understanding what motivates people to consume, understanding what makes a compelling product and offering. Like all of that remains intact. As for how to make the most of the technologies that are now available to you as you go through that process, I would say it looks like a kind of survey level understanding. So if we were to take generative AI, for example, do you need to dive all the way down into like neural nets and, you know, transformers and how those things work? No, not particularly. But you should have some idea of when somebody says something, say like large language model, what a large language model does, and quite frankly, what a large language model absolutely does not do. To give you sort of a good litmus test, if you're to the point where you have some point of view on whether a large language model can get us to human level intelligence, then you probably understand more than enough. And again, you don't have to dive too far into the math, or quite frankly at all, to have a point of view on that. Just understand what these things do and do not do. And to some extent, it's even fine if in early days you treat them as being a bit of a black box. But again, you know, if I just stopped with that piece of advice, I'm probably not telling our audience anything that they haven't heard before. What I would add to that is, you know, like we were talking about a moment ago, you know, if I think about like, how do you sort of skate to where the puck is going in this? It's not just content generation, it's going to be audience generation that now becomes really compelling and really interesting. And so, you know, commensurate with our increased understanding in, you know, kind of generative AI technologies, taking a little time to understand, you know, some of the machine learning technologies that frankly have existed for a little while now, and understanding what they unlock in terms of our potential to differentiate groups of customers at scale becomes a really powerful thing as well. And I think a way to kind of stay a little bit ahead of the curve.
Do you think AI will replace marketing teams anytime soon? And should marketers start retraining in other disciplines?
That's an interesting question. And I think the short answer is no, it does not replace marketing teams. And for exactly the reasons that, you know, we've been talking about, that like the fundamentals of what connects a product and a consumer are still intact, and that there's still a practice called marketing that must happen. Now, to your point, are there some roles that will be less necessary in the sense that like it will just take less time to perform that task? Yeah, there's clearly some things that are going to get automated. But I think if people were to step back from all of this and have the takeaway that, you know, automation is coming, marketing is going away, that kind of misses the point a little bit, Because yes, while we will spend less time doing certain tasks, the fact that we have so much better technology and can automate so much more of what we do now basically means that while the percentage of work done by the human may go down, the denominator in this fraction essentially goes up, that there's so much more opportunity we can go after that even if we're doing a much smaller percentage of it than we were before, net, we're still all going to be pretty busy.
So do you have a sense of how far along marketers are when it comes to using AI, ML, or not using it?
Yes, this is a question I get a fair bit because, you know, everyone's got kind of that, you know, sort of sense of FOMO about, you know, where am I relative to my peers? And I think there's a couple important things to remember here. First off, these are incredibly early innings. Most of us weren't even talking about large language models or a thing called GPT a year ago. And so, you know, don't allow all the sort of press and sort of, you know, fervor about this topic to, you know, lead you into thinking that like everyone's got a head start. And again, it's early innings. What it looks like to use these technologies now is nothing of what it's going to look like, say, a year from now, certainly 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And so I think really we're all kind of just starting to figure it out together. And I'd also say, you know, to the extent people are using it, it's still very kind of skeuomorphic at this point. It is things like, okay, let me take a task that I do today as a marketer, and then let me find a way to use AI to, you know, automate that task explicitly. What we have not yet gotten to the point of is let me reimagine the whole marketing process and how I go to market, and then, you know, figure out how to sort of employ technology in that. When we start getting to that place, that's when we'll know that, you know, things are really starting to escalate. And if at that point a marketer hasn't necessarily fundamentally revisited how they're going about engaging with consumers, then at that point they should probably feel a bit more concerned as to whether they're potentially falling behind.
So we talked about audience generation, but I'm wondering if you could talk about, you know, segmenting customers using AI, ML, and data.
Yes. And for context, I spent probably the majority of the first half of my career doing, you know, segmentation work as an analyst, and especially like in many cases in a direct marketing, like direct mail kind of context. So this is something that I have like been in the trenches personally. I know what I'm going to say is going to sound almost ridiculous at a time where everyone wants to talk about AI and ML, but the first piece of advice I would give to anyone thinking about segmentation, have customer data. So often where segmentation efforts go to die is I literally do not have the data that I need about our customer. And in fact, actually, you know, one of the things that I probably spend the most time on in my role as, you know, a product leader at MailChimp is how do we make MailChimp a great platform for, you know, housing and activating your data so that you can do things such as segmentation. So this is a problem I think about a ton. So once you've collected data, that's sort of the first thing. For how you go about doing segmentation, well, that varies a lot. And, you know, certainly big customers and, you know, sort of, you know, big businesses and smaller businesses have very different technical problems. And it would be easy to kind of get lost in the sauce on that. But I'd say, remember at its core what segmentation is trying to do. Segmentation is trying to help you get more personal with your customers so that you can have relevant conversations with them. And the truth is, we as marketers can probably very quickly, you know, rattle off, they call it, you know, say five or whatever the right number is for your business personas that exist in your customer base. All segmentation then tries to solve for is, okay, that's cool. You know what your five customer personas are. How do I go about making sure that for every last customer in my database, I can line them up with the right persona so that I can then have the right conversation with them? And I make this point because regardless what algorithm you use, regardless what data you use, coming into the process with extreme clarity about who my customer is and what I'm trying to get to in terms of my personas is the like easiest way to make sure that you stay on track and successfully deliver a segmentation that is impactful with respect to your ability to talk to customers, whether you're throwing ML at the problem, whether you're throwing like very simple heuristics at the problem, whatever it may be. You know, again, just that sort of maniacal customer orientation is ultimately the thing that will sort of guide you to the promised land and deliver value for your customers.
So, you know, we haven't talked about use cases yet. Can you name some, both that succeeded and both that succeeded and failed?
Absolutely. So I can give you some different use cases, and I think it's useful to talk about some generative AI use cases. And I think it's also useful to talk about some like, you know, audience generation use cases. So if I were to talk first a little bit, kind of the, you know, kind of audience generation use cases, because those have been around for a while, I would give, you know, a couple examples. I can actually think of an example where with one of our customers, they recently activated a segmentation split of their own customer base, in which accounts that were created with a workplace email versus those that were created with a personal email address. They then synced the delivery of their marketing campaigns for either weekdays between 9 and 5 or during the weekend, depending on the email address that was used. And so this just kind of gives you an example of where, again, know the persona of your customer and sort of bring that intuition to life at scale, and you can drive better outcomes. If I were to shift a little bit and talk about generative AI, I can actually talk about some examples from, you know, experiences we've had delivering, you know, generative AI-backed innovation for our customers. You know, while, you know, today's a very exciting day because I'm getting to talk a little bit about things such as, hey, we can generate an entire email for you. This is not the first thing that we have put into the wild. And, you know, not all of those attempts have been as successful as this one. And, you know, again, to the point, it's early innings. And so, you know, oftentimes we have done a good job of, you know, for example, with some of the like, you know, headline generation, kind of our initial attempts, like generated very nice headlines, and no one discovered them and used them in the grand scheme of things. You know, fun fact, we were out there generating, you know, headlines through generative AI before sort of ChatGPT blew up. But was anyone talking about headlines in MailChimp? No, because we didn't do a great job of, you know, creating awareness and driving people to realize that it's there in a way that they could create, they could sort of extract value from it. And so that becomes, I think, a good sort of meta point in all of this is, again, for all the improvements in technology, and there are many, and we're just warming up, the reality is you still need to deliver a compelling product to a customer in a way that they understand and trust, or else they're not going to use it and it's not going to change the world. Fundamentals of good marketing simply have not changed.
So can you name some AI, ML, or data tools that are effective for marketing that perhaps are not being leveraged well and that should be?
Absolutely. So to give you an idea, when I talk about, you know, kind of the email generation functionality a few minutes ago, that is one of probably at least 20 things that we're doing at MailChimp just for our customers. If I were to give you a couple of other examples, you know, one is, you know, this notion of sort of how do we optimize send day and send time. We basically look across our entire ecosystem and, you know, look at, you know, kind of how people tend to act by industry. And we then provide recommendations to our customers as to what is the best day and time to send your campaign in order to drive open rates and ultimately drive the outcomes that you want with your own customers. If I were to provide a little different example of another way in which we do this, we have something that we call our like customer journey builder next action recommendation. And what we do here is we help our customers understand what are the likely next actions of their customers, and then recommend steps that they can take in order to drive more of those outcomes with their own customer base.
I know earlier on you mentioned direct mail. Do you think the physical direct mail is dead, or do you think there's still a place for that marketing?
If I were to judge by the contents of my personal mailbox over the weekend, it is far from dead. Not just because it shows up in my mailbox, but because I know that at least one person in my house is like reading the catalogs that arrive with quite rapt attention, and it's ultimately leading to conversion. You know, it kind of goes back to our whole premise of, is email itself a channel that might be, you know, on its decline? And the answer is no, because it turns out we all consume information differently and we all appreciate different surfaces. And that's where, you know, as we think about how do we leverage these technologies as marketers, it's really important to remember that we should meet our customers on whatever surface they want to be on. And the principles of what is good marketing are the same across. And frankly, how we leverage these technologies are very, very similar. Yeah, there's some last mile differences in terms of how do I print something versus how do I put it in an email versus how do I render it on a social platform. But everything else that happens in the middle is fundamentally the same. And so I think it just becomes a matter of, you know, different surfaces work at different times for different people, and we need to be there. And, you know, the fact that even, you know, decades after the advent of the electronic message, and, you know, years after social media ad platforms have become huge, catalogs still show up in the mail. And that's not going to change in the foreseeable future.
So my last question is, what do you think the future will look like with AI, ML data in marketing?
I've never been more excited to be in this space than I am now. I think the future is going to look very different. And I also think that as I answer this question, I know we're going to play this back some number of years from now, and we're going to laugh at this answer. But here it goes. I think in early days, we already have some clues. It's going to look very much like Copilot in the sense that we will start with blank slates, whether they be in terms of audience creation or in terms of content creation. And from there, we will get some assistance as to, hey, have you considered this piece of content or have you considered this audience? And we will build up. I think over time, what will change as the technology gets better and as we become, frankly, better users of the technology, it will start to look more and more like Autopilot. It will start to look more and more like, okay, here's a campaign that I think would be good for your business given its objective, and here's an audience that I think would benefit from seeing it. You know, then you as the sort of marketer review that, you know, put your own spin on it, maybe even provide feedback to the machine saying, okay, well, I think that this discount is too steep, or maybe this audience is too narrow, and it goes and it iterates based on your feedback. And then it comes back, and eventually you have something that you are comfortable, you know, sending to your customers. The mental model here I would use is almost one of, it's like having a really smart intern. You would never necessarily let them hit send on a campaign without taking at least some sort of peek at it. But by and large, they're going to get you a pretty good first iteration, which then begs the question of, okay, if we're not doing the sorts of things we were doing before, what will we be doing? And the answer is a lot. One, there will be far more campaigns and far more products than we are capable of supporting now. So that will be a big change. But the far bigger change is we now get to uplevel ourselves to think about higher order problems. What are the customer pain points that we're not even thinking about addressing right now? And how do we bring to life, you know, products and offers that address those pain points for them? And how do we think about our business and how it's performing? And maybe how do we take a breath every once in a while and not necessarily have to grind so hard in order just to like tread water? For these reasons and many more, I'm very excited about where this is all going. And I think that the next 10 years are going to leave us in a place that looks very different than where we are today.
That sounds fascinating indeed. I hope you're right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you come back soon.
Thank you, Deborah. It's been a pleasure, and I hope to be back soon.
To get more AI news and insights, visit our website at aibusiness.com. Until next time, thank you for listening.